afternoon. Looking at you, you all look extremely well, well fed, well clothed, well looked after. I wonder how often you realize that your parents actually paid for you to come into this world. Did you? But they did. Because you were all born before the National Health Service came into being. And I remember so well that at the time I was away, I was still in the Navy, we hadn't been demobbed at that stage. And when I came to see the doctor, because the doctor was not only the family doctor, but he also attended the maternity services at the local hospital. I went to see him and just pay his bill. You never have to do that now, do we? He said to me, "Well, what's the hurry?" Presumably not the hurry to pay bills, even in those days. And I said, "Well, I'm going back, you know, I'm just sort of still on leave." "Oh, yes," he said, "I forgot." And he picked up the bill and he tore it up and wrote a different bill altogether, which I noticed immediately and realized that he suddenly realized that I was only a poor serviceman. God, oh. But it just shows you the times that change so much. Also, I'd like to mention, we mentioned earlier on about the smoking in the environment, the smoke. You've got to remember that the houses we lived in were different. People smoked, generally smoked. We were encouraged to smoke. In the forces, we were actually given cigarettes to smoke to soothe our nerves. All these gorgeous female film stars, they were all smoked, didn't they? We lived in a house. We didn't have central heating. We had fires, open fires. I remember not so much the house we lived in, but the house that I was brought up in, that we used to put a roll at the back door to keep the house warm, and that caused the smoke to come down the chimney. The pollution was appalling, and I could greatly, easily remember that when I used to go to work on my bike, the clean air coming along. And I lived in Stretford by that time, and when we got there, it was almost like a curtain being lifted, because Manchester was in a smoke-free area. And it must have made an enormous difference to the people who were doing it. Now, a quick word about the survey and where parents were involved in. Well, as I mentioned earlier, I was away when the permission presumably was asked from my wife to do this thing. But I was at home, of course, for all the remaining surveys. And the interesting thing, the early surveys were, of course, concentrated entirely on the baby. And this was done by the district nurse. Now, the district nurse was someone who was known by everybody. She attended the mothers when they'd given birth. They gave the attendance before and so on and so on. They became part of the family. Everybody knew the local district nurse. And so he was really part of the family, and she took part in the early. She weighed them and measured them and so on and so forth. And then as they became talkative and crawling about and so on and so forth, she would question the children as to their activities. And this became rather important and rather interesting, because she would take Ken into a room on his own and question him. And then we were banished from that room. She would come and talk to us. She would ask us, "Was he difficult to go to bed? What did he like to eat best? What did he like to do? What was his sports? What were his hobbies?" In the Observer, of course, it said that his hobby was digging a hole and pushing his little toys into the hole. truth was. Well, have I got time to keep saying it? But I'll make it quick like that.
So.
One day we were having our evening meal, and suddenly there were enormous screams coming from the garden. We rushed out, and there was a little girl who lived next door, up to her armpits in a dirty great hole. No doubt dogs saw they could put their little hands in it. Well, after dragging poor Rosaline out of the hole and dusting her down and satisfying her with lots of sweets and chocolate biscuits and what have you, and incurring the wrath of poor Paddy who lived next door, we asked questions. A, why was there such a big hole in the garden? And B, it being such a large hole, why hadn't Rosalind seen it? Well, they seemed to be obvious questions to me. Well, eventually, I won't say we beat the truth out of him. We got the truth. And it was perfectly logical when you come to think of it. You see, Ken and his little friend next door but one, who was just as mild and as kind and as sweet as the observer would like to have pushed out, had decided that there were far too many elephants around the area and that they needed capturing. And so they built a hole in the ground, covered it with leaves, branches and so on. And poor Rosalind came along, and instead of an elephant, we got Rosalind. Thank you.